Session number 10181.
Mr. Williams, Reel 2.
Yes, I decided while Billy was in Spain, I'd find out how he got there, and I thought I'd go and follow him.
Had you met Billy Davis when you came back from Egypt?
No. I came home. I came straight home. He was still in London. I came straight home, and then I went back to London. My brother was working in London at that time. He was younger than me, but I went to stay with him.
What had made you decide to go to Spain yourself?
Well, fundamentally, I was still out of work, still unemployed, still young, still virile. And my friend, my schoolboy friend, he'd gone. And I thought, well, if he can go, why can't I go? And also that I thought, well, it was a war in Spain and I was a qualified, trained soldier, trained nursing man. I thought I could be of some value out there. And the newspapers at all that time were talking about first aid people and bandages and all that wanted for Spain. I thought, well, I'll see if I could be of some help out there.
Do you think that you went for idealistic reasons or for reasons of adventure?
Well, I think it was 50-50. It was adventure. My friend was there. And also, I thought the Franco, by that time it was known who was what the war was about. I thought that Franco was unfair and that I would be on the side, if I was going to be take sides, I would be on side of the legitimate government of Spain.
How did you go about finding out how Billy Davis had gone?
Well, I was in Hyde Park talking to other people I knew and who also knew Billy, and they told me that he'd went down to King Street, the Communist Party headquarters in London, and I saw exactly where I went, and they told me what to do and so forth, and I filled in various forms there then. I went back the next day. They gave me some money, my fare across to Paris. And then from there on, I went down to Spain.
What date would this have been, approximately, that you went to King Street, the date?
Oh, let me see. Beginning of February? Beginning of February, 1937.
And you had an interview with somebody there?
Yes. I don't know who it was. There were other people there besides me. I wasn't the only one there. Lots of people going to Spain. And they interviewed me, asked me what experience I had, and I told them I was just come out of the army. I was a trained medical man. Jumped at me. No question at all.
They didn't show any suspicion about you?
No. Just jumped at me right away. Trained man, right away. And did you know anybody there? I said I knew, yes, I knew Billy Davis had gone.
Did they ask for any documentary proof of what you were claiming?
No, nothing at all, no.
What were the premises like at King Street?
Oh, I can't remember, I think it was a shop, it was a little shop. Very vague about it, I wasn't there very long. I think it was a little shop, yeah.
Had you had any contact with the Communist Party before?
No, none whatsoever. Only talking to people, that's all, in the Hyde Park. I spent most of my political life at that time in Hyde Park. Only listening to people and reading the Daily Worker that was being sold at the time and all that. No political affiliations at all.
What was your next step in going then?
I had to... Yeah, they give me some money. They give me money for my fare to Paris. And I had to be at Victoria Station at such and such a time, and I would meet somebody else there who would make himself known. And I was there, and I think it was about 12 of us in one party. And we went from Victoria Station then to Paris.
Had you made any preparations for going, in the way of buying anything special?
No, nothing at all. Nothing at all. All we bought was this weekend ticket to Paris. Didn't need a passport, anything, just a weekend ticket to Paris.
Were you conscious of the authorities paying any interest in what you were doing?
No. Nobody seemed to worry, nobody seemed to care. It was kind of a thing to have gone that time, really. No, nobody seemed to be worried, no, nothing at all.
No problems at customs or passport control?
Nothing at all. There was no passport at that time. We had a weekend ticket and that included your weekend passport.
Who was accompanying you?
Oh, there was about 12 other people. There was a couple of Scotsmen. There was a couple of Welshmen. A fellow named... Uh, oh, Oh, his name will come to me just now. On a few Englishmen.
And how did you cross France?
Well, we went from France, we went by train. We were in Paris, stayed a night in Paris, and then we were escorted from Paris down to Perpignan, and we had to wait in Perpignan for 3 or 4 days, and a guide was then supposed to walk us over the Pyrenees. But this is a big adventure. 3 days in Pyrenees, we were all wasting our time, and a few of us were in a little square in the centre of Pyrenees, sitting on a seat there. And a couple of gendarmes came up to us and asked us what we were doing. Oh, we said we were just on holiday, biding our time. And they jabbered something in French to us, and they marched us off to the local jail. And when we got to the local jail, there was the rest of the party all in the jail. They kept us there that night, and the following morning we were up in front of the local magistrate. Well, now, as it happened, I was with another fellow. The name of the fellow I'm trying to remember was a fellow named Jack Roberts from Abertrudo, from the Valleys. And Jack and I, in Paris, the courier, or the fellow in charge of the party, had given me some money and Jack some money to see us through for food for 3 days and for the rest of the party, to pay for the food for the rest of the party. Well, when the following morning we went in front of the magistrate, and because we had money, we weren't listed as vagrants. The rest of the party were listed as vagrants, and they were sentenced to 14 weeks in jail. The Dersemane prison. I can always remember the magistrate telling these fellows, Dersemane prison. He went, but you two, you go back, sent back home right away, because we weren't vagrants. So Jack and I were let loose, and we were told to catch the next train back to England.
Did you?
Yes, we were escorted to the train. No question about it at all. We were escorted to the train, and we were escorted all the way to Paris in train and back to England. We were escorted to the boat at Dover, and then we were left on our own then, and we came back to England. Jack came back home. What happened there? Now, Jack came back home. After we left the magistrate's court, Jack and I were left on our own. We didn't know. We were told we had to get back into England. That's what the magistrate told us. So we decided we wouldn't get back there. We tried to get back into Spain. So some or the other, we made our way to Marseille. And when we were in Marseille, we tried to contact various people that knew about Spain or something or the other, but we failed. So in the end, we said, well, we'll have to get back home, but we had no money. By this time, we had no money. So we went to the British consulate in Marseille. We told him our plight, and he said, what were you doing here in the first place? We said, we were on holiday. We'd had a good time, and we'd spent all the money. We were broke. No, no, he said, you were trying to get into Spain. And we swore, hell, we weren't trying to get into Spain at all. We swore we were there as visitors. And because he didn't believe us, obviously, he wouldn't help us at all. So we were more or less bundled out to the consulate, and we had to find our way back to England. So we went, walked around Marseille for a while, and we were looking into a shop. We thought we were going for a tea on the window. Went in the shop, and Jack and I had a cup of tea, and there was an English woman watching us there. Didn't know who she was, but she was very, very kind. And she said, you seem to be in trouble, the two of you, when you speak English, because I heard you speak English. And we said, yes, we were in trouble. We spent all our money. We want to get back to England. Well, she said, you got no money at all? We said, no, we haven't got anything for a night's bed or anything. Well, she said, I can give you something for a bed tonight. She said, and also, she said, if you come with me, she said, I will give you money, she said, to send a telegram home so that you can get some money sent to you. Well, I told Jack, that's no good me sending him money to my parents. So Jack, who was a local councillor at the time in Rhondda, he sent the telegram, and he had £20 sent next day, telegram next day, and that fare saw us back into England.
So once you got back home?
Once we got back into London, Jack went home to his home village, and I straight went back to King Street, and I told him my experiences. They said, you still want to go in? I said, yes, I still want to go back to Spain.
Why had this not discouraged you?
Well, I enjoyed the experience the first time. I did fun the first time, you know, it was all novel to me. And I enjoyed it. I thought, well, I'll have another go at this. And I went the same process again. But the second time we went from London to Paris, from Paris to Bordeaux.
What date have we reached now? What date have we reached now?
How do you mean?
What time of year was it?
Oh, this is still February. Still February, towards the end of February now. Still February, 1930. Still February 1937, that's right. February 1937, still it was February 1937. And the second time we arrived at Bordeaux. Now, I don't know if you know much about the Spanish Civil War, but that time, Franco was having a big offensive in Bilbao, in the Basque country. And ostensibly, we were in Bordeaux with a lot of other volunteers, not so much many British. I think it was a handful of us British people, but there was a lot of Frenchmen there, a lot of Italians, lots of other people all around Bordeaux waiting to be shipped to Bilbao, to the Basque country. And I think we were in Bordeaux for about 4 weeks waiting to be shipped, but by that time the whole place had fallen, Franco had taken, so we couldn't go there, and then we were shipped to Marseille instead.
Did you have any further problems on this second occasion?
No, none
with
at
the
all.
French authority?
No. Bordeaux was a very popular front place at the time. It was very open. We had a good month in Bordeaux. Enjoyed ourselves pretty free. Nobody bothered us at all in Bordeaux. And the local Communist Party looked after us. They gave us food and really enjoyed a full month. It was a total month holiday in Bordeaux. And from there we went to Marseilles. And we were in Marseille 2 days, and we went smuggled on a ship that was going to Barcelona.
How was that done?
We got to Marseille as well. It was a whole crowd. Everybody closed their eyes to what was happening at that time then. And I think there was about 200 of us all smuggled onto the ship in the harbour at Marseille. It was a cargo boat, it was. And we were going to Barcelona.
Were they all British people who were smuggled aboard?
No, it was empty nationalities. Frenchmen, Germans, Italians. It was a whole miscellany of people there. It was the League of Nations.
What was the name of this ship?
I can't remember the name of the ship at all.
Must have been quite a big one.
Yes, and it was a famous ship because I think it was the SS, but I think it was the Barcelona. It's called something Barcelona. I think it was, yes. Anyway, we got on this ship. And all that night we sailed across the Mediterranean to Barcelona. And the following morning we were about an hour and a half from Barcelona. And a German warship sunk the ship we were on.
Can you describe what happened?
Yes. It shelled the ship, this cargo ship we were on, and sunk the bloody thing. I jumped overboard with a couple of other people. But I happened to be a good swimmer, as it happened. And it was warm, it was, Mediterranean water. It was, beginning of March, 37.
Did you see the ship that shelled?
Yes, I saw the warship. You see the flames of the thing. Oh, God, yes. And heard the damn thing, and felt the shells hit the ship.
How many shells hit the ship?
Well, I don't know. I think it was about 4 or 5 of them hit her, but some must have hit below the waterline because she didn't take more than about an hour to go down.
Were any of the people aboard killed or wounded?
I don't know. I don't know who was killed or wounded. I know there was a lot drowned. There was a lot drowned. A couple of my friends were drowned. But I think about 70% of the 75% of the people were saved because it wasn't far from the land. Land was in the distance, but we couldn't see. But it was just there. Because then boats came out and picked most of us up.
Who were your friends who were drowned?
It was a couple of English. A fellow from Newcastle was drowned, and a fellow from Swansea was drowned. I don't know anybody else. You know, it went on talking terms of a lot of foreigners that were there, the Italians, the Germans, anything like that.
Did the German ship attempt to interfere with the people in the water?
No.
How long were you in the water yourself?
About 2 hours. About 2 hours in the water.
What condition were you in when you were pulled out?
Oh, I was all right. The water was warm, and I was more frightened than anything, more frightened. There was a lot of debris about, and I hung on to something or the other, and lots of people were hanging on. And we knew that we weren't far from land, and we knew that everybody on land would have known it. And we were picked up and went to Barcelona.
Did people suffer from oil in the water?
Yeah, there was. It was oily. Yes, it was very oily. Yes, I didn't see people suffer from it. When we took us on land, they changed our clothes and bathed us. It was oily. Yes, it was very oily.
Who pulled you out?
People on a motorboat. Spaniards on a motorboat.
Mm. How did they treat you?
Very lovely, nice. Yes, oh, very, very, very kind. Very, 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 very kind indeed. Yes. Well, we were going there, you see. They guessed we were going there.
So did you lose all your possessions?
Everything. Well, we had very little possessions to go anyway, because we had nothing with us, actually. So we didn't lose anything.
Had the ship you were on any weapons of itself to reply to the German ship?
No, it was an ordinary cargo ship. Bin Marseille's loading cargo and stuff, should imagine. It had some more material on, I wouldn't know. But it was an ordinary ship, as far as I was concerned. I was going to Marseille, and we were in the hold.
Was it flying the Spanish or the
Spanish flag? Spanish flag.
How had you got out of the hold?
Ah, well, it was, as I say, it was in the morning, early in the morning. Most of us were on deck then, you know, waiting to see Barcelona. Most of us on deck. We were only in the hold to sleep at night. There were the hammocks and things slung around, sleep in the odd corner. It was only for one night, I remember. It was only from Marseille to Barcelona. So most people stayed on deck. I think I spent most of my time on deck, as such.
What was your first warning that there was trouble when you were on the ship?
A bloody big bang. Hell of a bang.
So you heard the bang before you saw
that's
the...
Right, that's right, that's right. And then somebody said, ooh, we've been shelled. And panic. I mean, everybody's running around in circles, and all the distance, you could see the next bang. You could see the next flame coming, and then the next thing, there was splashes in the water.
Did the ship catch fire?
I don't think so. No, it didn't catch fire. No. It just sunk.
Did you have any lifeboats aboard the ship?
I don't think they had any time to launch any lifeboats.
What happened to you once you got ashore?
Well, they took us to a kind of a barracks place, and by this time there was about 200-300 of us all together, and we said who we were and so forth and so on, that we came to fight for Spain and all this nonsense. And then there was one of the couriers that was on the ship, he suddenly took charge. He was saved. One of the Frenchmen or something, he was saved. And he explained why we were on the ship. I don't know this, but I'm assuming that's what happened. Because suddenly we were all gathered together, and we were a proper group, reorganized all of a sudden.
To do what?
Well, we reorganized and separated from all the civilians and all the other people that were saved, or the crew and everything. And we were sent to a place called Albacete.
How did you get there?
By train.
Under what conditions?
Quite good. Spanish trains. Quite normal. Yeah, it's quite normal.
What was the morale of the party like after the sinking?
Well, we were a bit euphoric, really. The people I were. I mean, we were in Spain. We got through a bit of an experience. But you must remember, we were all young. We were all volunteers. There was nothing compulsive about anything that had happened to us or we had done. Perfectly volunteer. If we were shelled in the ship, it was our fault. We went voluntary for it. So I was pretty philosophical about it.
What was the setup at Albacete?
Now, Albacete was the main headquarters of the International Brigades at that time.
And how were you processed there?
Yes, I was then. I was with a bunch, you know. What's your qualification? I said I'd been in the Royal Army Medical Corps. I was a trained nursing orderly. Ooh, dear. And I was separated from the rest of them right away. And I went to another part of the barracks there, and I was kitted out in some sort of an uniform. And they told me that I would be going to the front the following morning. The following morning.
Without any further training?
Without any more to do. So the following morning I went, and I think it was another fella. Another fella was with me, and I think he was a German. He went with me. I don't know whether he was a German or an Austrian. You know, I think he was either an Austrian or a German. He spoke German, anyway. And we were both sent to the Charama front. And I was sent to the Thelma battalion, as a first aid man.
Was the chap with you also a medical orderly?
Yes, he was a medical orderly as well.
Did you speak any German?
No. I spoke nothing. All I spoke at that time was English.
Whereabouts exactly on the front were you?
On the Charama front, that's just outside Madrid, on the outskirts of Madrid.
But can you locate it more precisely on the Charama front?
Near El Escorial.
And did you go right up into the front line?
Right into the trenches.
What were your first impressions of the trenches?
Oh, well, I thought, you know, trenches as I'd seen pictures of the last war and things like that, sandbags, trenches. The only difference was it's no tin helmets, nothing like that. Everybody was dressed higgly-piggly, no regular uniforms. And it was a bit of a lull in the fight. In the very day I went up, there was a lull in the shooting. There was very little noise. So my first day was a quiet day, but I was there in the front line.
Do you know the dates that you arrived?
No, I don't. No, from the day the ship got sunk until the day it went to the Charama front, as a whole, in my mind now, is a mixture, a total mixture. But I think it was sometime about the second or third week in March.
Were you in any particular platoon or company?
No. I was just in the medical man for the Thalman battalion.
How many medical men did the Thalman battalion have?
Me and this other fella.
For a whole battalion. How many were in the battalion?
About 700-800 men. No doctor. There was a doctor back at brigade.
What was the medical condition in the front when you arrived?
Well, at that particular time, it was a lull in the fight, and there was no casualties or anything. All I had a first aid satchel on me with bandages, splints, syringes, morphia, and all the paraphernalia of a first class first aid man. And I was sent to, you know, bandage the people who had been shot. Simple as that. You're a trained man, you should know what to do.
How did the equipment compare with the equipment you'd had in the British Army?
Well, there was nothing. The British Army was entirely different. I mean, in the British Army, I never had a satchel. All I had, when I was in Egypt with the ambulance brigade there, I was just more or less a stretcher bearer. I was carrying people from the ambulance to the first aid hospital.
Were there many people to treat when you got there?
No, not at that particular day, but about 3 or 4 days after, yes, there was a lot of shelling and a lot of things come up, and there was the usual battle casualties, people with splinters and fingers off, hands off, things like that. Well, not hands off as such, but smashed up and things like that.
And did you know what to do?
Yes. I was fully conversant with what to do. I'd been trained to... you know, to do it, although I'd never done it as such. But I knew what to do. I knew how to stop the bleeding. I knew how to apply tourniquet. I knew the correct way to put a bandage on. I knew you had to be as clean as possible. I knew exactly what to do, but of course it was a shock to do it. Nobody besides me to show me how or say I'm doing it wrong or anything. I just had to do it.
Did you make any mistakes?
As far as I know, I made a lot of mistakes, but I never saw them. I don't know. I must have made. My whole 2.5 years in Spain, I must have made dozens of mistakes, but I very rarely saw them. You can't really make a mistake if a man's coming in, if he's brought DTOR, you go to see him, he's lying down, he's partly unconscious, he's incoherent, all you can see is blood and a smash on his uniform. You just rip his uniform open and you see a big wound, you just put bandage and cotton wool and lint on it, and you just bandage him up, make sure he's not bleeding from an artery, and tourniquet. That's all you can do. You can save his life temporarily, you can help him temporarily till he gets down.
So you were just giving first aid?
That's right.
Before they were taken back?
That's right.
Did you have any helpers?
Yes, I had a team of stretcher bearers. I had 4 stretcher bearers.
And you were in charge of them?
I was in charge of it.
Were they Germans?
Yes.
How did you communicate with them?
Well, it was kind of sign language. It's funny enough, you can communicate. When the time comes, you can communicate. There's very little to be said. You can communicate. Fear communicates an awful lot. Didn't need any communication. I didn't need any words. You just needed what to do.
What was their standard of efficiency?
Beg your pardon?
What was the standard of efficiency of the helpers whom you were with?
Ordinary people, ordinary, like myself, ordinary people. And most of them had no experience at first. They didn't know at all. All they knew that I'd tell them some or the other, take him myself, and some or the other to get him back to the ambulance, to the field hospital.
Did you see any horrific sights in those first days?
Not in the first days, though. No, not then. I was at the Jarama front for, I think it was, a fortnight. And the Thalman battalion was pulled out, and I was pulled out with them.
So they weren't suffering heavy casualties?
Not at the time as I was there, because the Jarama front, before I got there, had been a terrible killing ground. But I missed the major part of that. I was at the end of it. And I was pulled out from there then. And I went to a place called Tarazona, just outside Madrid.
Before we go on to Tarazona, can you tell me if, whilst you were working on the Jarama front, whether you were treating enemy wounded as well as...
No. I never saw an enemy man at all at Jarama front.
Were there any cases of sickness that you had to treat?
No. The only treatment I did at the Jarama front were ordinary battle wounds. Not many of those at that particular period. And the only battle wounds I treated was the odd mortar shell that landed in the trench or near the trench, or somebody had been stupid or something like that.
Were you under fire yourself?
Yes. All the time. I was a first aid man in my old 2.5 years. I was totally under fire.
Were you wounded at the Jarama front yourself?
No.
Could you see the enemy from where you were?
No. I never looked for him. I didn't raise my head high enough. No, I never looked for him. No.
What kind of enemy fire was incoming at Jarama?
The funny thing, the thing that fascinated me most of all,